The following programming is sponsored by Pinnacle Medical Plus. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley. On a slightly overcast Monday, welcome to the Sonny Banks Show here on the American Justice Radio Network. We've got a fantastic show. We're brought to you by Tony Shuler and Pinnacle Medical Plus. Sonny, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really nice.
Good.
You know, I need, you know, one of the things about having an office in your house is your and the invention of computers.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're never, ever,
ever disconnected.
Never disconnected. And so we took a trip. We go every year to my wife's cousins, and they're up in Bucks County. And it was awesome to get away.
Yeah, nice.
I needed to decompress, and so it was fantastic. And then, of course, it was capped nicely last night. On Monday night Sunday night football.
Great win.
Great win.
A little concerned that they gave up 33 points, but.
No question about it. It's a little concerning to say the least. And I got some, you know, and I know we've got a great guest. But one of the things, we got Mike Silver who just came into the, into the house.
Hello, Mike. Good to have you.
Hey, thank you. You too.
So, having said that, we're talking a little Eagles to start the show off. The thing that concerns me, and people would say to me that I'm a typical Philadelphia fan, which is not true, because I've matured, right? Like I think everybody else my age or our age, but they're not. Of course, last night they dominated the run. They did. Okay.
No question.
But it's very difficult. It's very difficult to run pass option is a very difficult thing to dominate, when you, especially when you're playing some disciplined defenses. And don't get me wrong. It was record-breaking night last night. Mike, did you see the game?
That's why I'm late.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you, man.
Really?
Mike, you can bring that right to your... But having said that,
how's this?
It's perfect.
Good,
what makes me a little nervous is we're not the run. We're dominating a lot, but that's I don't want to say like for example, we're not running power. We're not running a power eye, and we're shoving it down their throat. And I love the run, and we are dominating in the run area, but we didn't dominate in the run area last week.
No,
and typically when Hurts is getting his big yards, it's after something else didn't work. So when I was coming at him, he's got great, you know, I love him. I love that guy.
It was really nice to see that last night, because you know that they are a complete team. You know, they're just not
I worry obviously about defense, and I worry the fact that we're not dominant in any phase. Now, at the beginning of the year, we kind of were. Mm-hmm. And so that concerns me. Mike?
I know you brought me in for my expertise.
I did, Mike.
But here's my feeling as a know-nothing football fan.
Well, welcome to the game.
Eagles, Phillies, Sixers fan.
Right.
Die with the city. I worry every time Hurts runs and he just doesn't run out of bounds and he doesn't just slide.
That's
interesting. He gets tackled, and then where are we?
Right. Yeah, but
it's very interesting.
That's the nature of today's game, though.
But you know what's interesting about Hurts? First of all, he squats 600 pounds. The guy, and he's got a very unique running style, and he's kind of a combination of power. He's a smaller Tim Tebow with a better arm, obviously.
Right.
If Tebow could run, I mean, could have passed, of course, he could have been very effective. 60, but you look at RG3, Mike, you know, Robert Griffin from Washington. He had an unbelievable first year, but he didn't have a full year after that because he was beat up. But
injury prone.
He was 6'2", 190 pounds. Okay. And let's look at
Lamar Jackson.
Jackson, obviously, he's still got it going, but you know, and I don't think he's got the receiving core that we had, but what's it called? The Panthers, okay? Longtime quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, 6'5", who, you know, was all pro, went to the Super Bowl, never was the same, but really huge guy. Anyway, he was, you know, you get beat up, like to your point, Mike, that eventually in the NFL, you know, they're catching you. Now, I don't know if Hurts is, you know, absorbing the hits as much. He's gotten his butt kicked a couple times, no question, but he's a unique runner.
Yes.
And so he's at 6'1", 220, 225, and he bench, you know, so we do depend on him a lot. And in the NFL, no one has lasted under those circumstances for very, very long. So we'll take it while we can get it, though, man. The dude is,
definitely.
And his character is off the charts.
It is.
I mean, you know.
All about the team.
Well, here's something for you. Personal injury, a disability. This is when I fell in love with that guy. Washington, D.C., they're going towards the tunnel, all the fans are on, and the gate falls over. Okay. Now, by the way, there's personal injury, you know, so they were all leaving. They all fell on the track there.
Fans got hurt.
And he ran towards them, made sure they all got up, and then took pictures of them within 5 minutes. You know, so I went, man, that guy is, you know, he's an awesome dude. He didn't dance around it and run in the tunnel.
Right.
So, you know, gotta love him.
Definitely has character.
Oh, my God. So having said that, yeah, we're all happy here. It's sunny and 85 degrees here in Delaware Valley after the Eagles win.
Always.
So, Sonny, if you would introduce our guest.
Actually, I'm going to let Mike introduce himself. He's been on the program many, many times. Mike?
Thank you, Sonny. I would have studied a little bit more football. You know, had I known these were the questions you were going to ask.
Yeah, the whole show is going to be about it.
Yeah, silly me. I thought about disability. So I've been a lawyer for a long time. And when I finished a clerkship with a judge, after graduating from Rutgers Law School, I got a job with a big labor law firm. And all they represented was injured workers, mostly. Tomar Parks in South Jersey, about 50 lawyer firm. And the first week there, a young partner comes up to me and says, here's my hearings for next week. You know how to ask questions. And I thought to myself, I didn't know how to ask questions. But I took the cases, and it was a brand new field because this is a firm that did mostly workers' comp and PI like you do, right?
And that firm did New Jersey.
This is South Jersey. So my clerkship with a judge was in South Jersey. And I went to Rutgers in South Jersey. And I took both bars. So I try to study like crazy for a week for these two cases, but there's not a textbook out. It's a brand new field. And, you know, we've had Social Security since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but Social Security disability was a newer thing. So it's about 50 years old. So I studied like crazy what I could. I had two older guys and two nice judges. The guys that I represented had good work histories and were hurt and would have liked to have continued working, but because of their injuries, couldn't work anymore. So I fought like hell for these two guys. I won both cases.
Nice.
And the young partner in the firm writes to his other partners and says, kid seems to know how to do disability law. And that's how it started for me.
Wow.
And within a year, I had 450 cases. And I begged the senior partner to let me go to a seminar in Washington, D.C. And the next year, I gave a lecture and wrote a paper on the cases in the Third Circuit concerning disability.
Incredible.
And then I eventually became president of the organization. But by then, when I went to that first meeting, it was 100 lawyers. By then, it had grown to 5,000.
Wow.
And I got to testify in Congress. I got to write some laws nationally and in Pennsylvania. And one law in particular, I don't know if you're familiar with it, that I wrote that I'm really...
And I heard about this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. The most important thing a disability lawyer can do for you is prepare you for the hearing, prepare you for the kind of questions that the judge will ask. But most important is to have your medical records. And when I started out, it was very hard to get those records. Every doctor, there are some exceptions, but every hospital, every emergency room charged a hell of a lot for a record. $100 for an emergency room visit, $250 for your stay in the hospital. And look, they needed to be paid something for copying the records, but $300 to give you a few pages, it was crazy. And at the time, the most a lawyer could get paid in a disability case was $1,500. And that was a home run. And every case had to be tried, and every case took a year or two. So not too many lawyers wanted to do it, but I always thought, hey, if I can get that work, maybe they'll see me as their family lawyer, and I'll eventually get accident work also and whatever.
Sure. Yeah,
and
sense.
That's what happened. So years later, I went out on my own doing disability law, and when I finished a case, people would come up to me and say, you did a great job. What else do you do? And little by little, we started to take disability, workers, some comp, no more. I give them out. And VA work, which you're helping me out with
yes,
a lot.
I
really appreciate that. But we do employment discrimination, and we do private disability. And I've been very busy with this disability work, and I really enjoy it. And even after all these years, still enjoy doing it. My middle son came to work for us, and he was a smart kid from Duke Law School, and I took him out of Washington, and he's been doing a great job helping me run the firm. And we have a number of other lawyers. My wife is my partner since the start. And she worked for an insurance company for 7 years. And so she felt very comfortable with adjusters and
sure.
insurance company lawyers. And
she
gets
and
a lot of people. She gets a lot of money for people who have been hurt in an accident. So that's my story. Hey,
now, the name of the firm is?
Silver & Silver.
Which one are you?
I'm sure I'm the second
one. I Absolutely. Knew it. I was on the firm.
So you're married too.
You got that right. It's at the house, it's Doherty and Doherty. And you know, I'm the second one, of course. Actually, I'm the fourth one. There's Doherty, Doherty, the dog, and then me. But no, I think it's very interesting because you go over the disability, and you're talking about Social Security disability, but also private disability?
Yes, but I guess I got so hung up on my own story, I didn't get to the punchline.
Go ahead.
So the punchline is, it was really hard to go before these judges and have all the records you needed. And I was active in this national organization, and I noticed a law in Massachusetts that said, if you're disabled, you have a right to your records, your medical records, to prove your disability case for free. And I took that law and I circulated it among all the Pennsylvania legislators. And one guy, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, wrote me back and said, I like this. Rewrite it for Pennsylvania. I'll sponsor it. And I did. And it immediately got passed by both houses, one for free and one for $10. I could care less. I could for $10 get. Well, then the trial lawyers heard about it. And then the copying services heard about it. And it was jammed up in the legislation for 3 years. But each year, Governor Ridge allowed me to reintroduce it. And in the third year, we reached a compromise, $18 plus the cost of postage. And that was great. So for $18, if somebody was in the hospital, even a month, I could get the 1,000 pages for $18 plus the cost of postage. I mean, I saved my client.
Were the trial lawyers opposed to it?
They just wanted a piece of the action.
I see.
They didn't really care about disability because we were just a small part of the market.
Right, right.
But they were getting screwed because they were paying X dollars per page, and they wanted some limitation. So they eventually got $1 a page. They were happy with that.
When did it pass?
It's about 20 years ago now.
Wow.
And now, with inflation, it's about $36 plus the cost of postage, which we still think is a bargain.
It's a big help. Huge.
And people are in that situation, they're so stressed out. No way they, I mean, it's not easy to pay $350, $360, whatever.
Listen, it's not easy to find a disability lawyer because the fees are still capped. Mike, you want to talk about that?
So I've been doing this nearly 50 years. It's unbelievable. And it started out at $1,500, $3,000, $4,000, $4,500, $6,000. And now this last month, it got raised to $7,200. That's the most a lawyer can get paid. But it's 25% of past due benefits. So it can't exceed that. So if somebody has $4,000, for example, in past due benefits, there's only $1,000 a lawyer can get paid. And the first 5 months following a disability, there's no benefits.
Right.
It's a waiting period.
Sure.
Because they assume, incorrectly for most people, that they're covered for that first 6 months. It's not true. Most people aren't walking around with 6 months of coverage.
Sure.
But that's how they figure it out. And
as I understand it, there was a 13-year gap between the $6,000 increase and the $7,200 increase.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But once you exceed that, it's retroactive, right? In other words, you're covered for that. In other words, if you're out for a year, they cover you for the entire year, correct?
Yeah, and most cases take a year or more to get to a hearing. And people don't usually come to me till they've been out for a year, which is the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as somebody thinks they're going to be out for at least 6 months and it looks like it could go for a year, that's when they should start considering making an application for disability, because it's such a slow process. And during this pandemic, the Social Security offices were closed for the first 2 years.
Right.
So the poorest people who are applying for SSI, Supplemental Security Income, they didn't need to have a work record. They couldn't make an application. So the backlog, I think there's a million people in a backlog or something.
Yeah, because as I understand it, people who are applying for SSI have to apply themselves at their local field office, as opposed to, you know, an attorney in an SSD case can actually submit the initial application. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, or that people can go in themselves and, you know, mm-hmm. or go online.
There's, right.
Yeah.
Mike, I think I heard this wrong. You said you've been doing this for almost how many years?
A long time.
He didn't say.
Because I was going to say, I thought I heard a crazy, I thought you said 50. I'm like, no way. He said, I must have been hearing that wrong. But
I exaggerated, 49.
He still looks good, doesn't he?
He still looks good.
I'm soaking in alcohol as we speak.
Him and Bruce Springsteen, they must be going to the same stylist or something like
that. Thank you, though.
No doubt. By the way, just so you know, 87 years old over here.
You look great, Brady.
I do, don't I? Yeah. 85, we're pushing it. But no, it's.
Did you see Bruce Springsteen at the Phillies game?
I did see that.
That he was there, and it was rumored.
Right. What was rumored?
That he was there.
He was there.
Yeah, his hat covering him and everything. Yeah. So a friend of mine took him to the baseball game.
Who was that guy?
Larry Maggott.
That was Larry
Electric
Maggott?
Factory.
Yeah, right? I was wondering.
He's a neighbor, right?
Okay.
So he had asked me at the end of the summer, want to catch a baseball game? I said, I'd love to. And we weren't
Electric
around.
Factory.
He went one place, he went another. Really great guy, though. So then I see him with Bruce Springsteen. So I got to call him and say, you took him instead of me? I don't get it.
Well, what people should know is Mike Silver couldn't make it, so Bruce.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Bruce
was the standard.
I like that.
Let me just say one thing about the Phillies games, okay? We got tickets, okay? A radio broadcast partner.
Oh.
Gave us tickets, and he said, I think these are good tickets, right?
700.
Yeah, he's referring to me. Listen, I made no promises when I gave him the tickets.
On top of the dugout. First row.
Oh, that's good.
Me and I was afraid to call him and say, listen, he finds out what's...
Story's not done though, Mike.
Oh, all right.
that, yeah. So it was one of the greatest nights, because guess what the game it was? It was the game that Hoskins hit the home run and threw the bat. It was against Strider. It was the Phillies hadn't been home in 17, 18 days.
Right.
Man, it was unbelievable. I felt so bad. I'm like, because Sonny's like, I think they're good seats, right? We were just happy. And I'm not normally like this because, driving in traffic and all that, I just have no patience. So, but I knew my wife would love to go. So I'm like, sure, Sonny, we'll go, no doubt. And because Griffin had been, I think he had come in late and he wasn't allowed out or something. Like, I don't know what it was.
I don't believe it. Yeah.
but so it was a family event that they had now. And me and my wife looked like the day before and we're like we were number row one on the thing. And I was like, Elaine, I don't know if I should call Sonny. He might be mad at me. It was the most incredible experience ever. However, it was funny because when we get there, seats unreal. We're in, and next to us were the. You would have thought we were in the 700 level at the vet. Okay, we had a crew next to us, and I'm like, now I know why I'm here. Sonny must have, he must not be happy with the last show we did, right? these dudes were out of control. I mean, I thought to myself, man. I was thinking, do you know who I'm talking about or no?
No, I don't know.
I thought to myself, no way would Sonny tolerate this. I either had to, jump on the bandwagon or there was going to be a big ruckus there. And I was cool. But it turned out to be the experience of a lifetime, man. There's no way Bruce had better seats than me. but Larry Maggott, by the way, Electric Factory, a legend.
Great,
you know.
Yeah. So just one short note, right, mm-hmm. in response. I once had a case where when I was a younger lawyer, I was helping in a case against for the Cherry Hill Racetrack against the Grateful Dead, right? It was a very clear case. Grateful Dead backed out of their deal 2 days before the concert. We knew exactly how much they owed, but they wouldn't pay. So we had to sue them. I don't know if they thought we wouldn't sue them or something. 2 days of trial, we win, and we're all friends. And during the, you know, breaks, he and I would meet in a bathroom. The guy who they sent from the Grateful Dead was a guy named Rock Scully. He weighed about 90 pounds. He was about 6'2". Skulls and crossbones everywhere on his body before it was popular. But he was a brilliant guy. He spoke six languages.
Was he a lawyer?
No, he was their business manager. But I don't think he was a lawyer, no.
Okay.
But brilliant guy, educated in Switzerland, amazing guy. So we got to be friendly. So when he leaves, he said, hey, how would you like to be backstage for a concert? So he gives me these, I can't believe, of course, he gives me the tickets. So I'm not dating anybody in particular that weekend. I call up this girl, you want to go to a concert? Yeah. I pick her up. She seems all right. I drive down to the Spectrum. She says, this isn't loud music, is it? I think it is. And how long's a concert last? I said, hours, you know? She doesn't look all that happy. We get there. It's mobbed. I can't get backstage, but at least I got in. I was still excited.
Sure.
Okay, it's a winter day. So we get in, and it's very loud. And she says after an hour, come on, you got to take me home. I said, please, you know, give me a little bit more. She gives me another maybe half hour. Finally, I can't take it. I got to take her home. We go outside. It snowed, right? I wasn't sure where I left my car to begin with, but now every car is filled with snow, right? And we have to wipe off the cars to find my car and take her home.
Oh, my God.
That's my ticket story.
Incredible.
You know, it's funny. My wife has a similar one. She went to see Bruce Springsteen. Her boss, she managed a salon downtown for decades, and her boss was doing Bruce Springsteen's wife's hair.
Wow.
And they're there, and she was really cool. Bruce came in to say hello. He gives them front row seats, and the boss wants to leave.
Oh.
And by the way, they do leave after like a song. And I'm like, but to this day, like the boss was, you know, he was into dance music or something like that. But right. I'm just saying, you know, that very interesting. I've never been
an opportunity.
That, right, exactly. I've never been backstage. But if you're Grateful Dead, Bruce Springsteen,
yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, my experience at the Electric Factory is I saw Lenny Kravitz there.
Oh, wow.
And we were in a VIP box and he actually came up to the VIP box to shake hands with my son.
Really?
Yeah, it was Griffin wasn't there. It was Jake. So it was quite an experience.
Acting up again, Griffin. By the way, we want to thank Griffin Banks for putting the show together. Obviously, we're good job and we got a lot going on. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break because we're going to talk some law. We're going to go back and forth.
Definitely.
I mean, we definitely could go on. No question. We got some
serious bullshit. If you're allowed to say.
Exactly. Okay. So we'll have more from the Sunny Bank Show when we come back.
Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude. Everything was perfect until that day when she was 5 weeks old.
So there was a fairly large and aggressive brain tumor, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us the ultimate gift in this world, which was hope restored.
And she's tumor-free now.
We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sonny Banks Show here on WWDB Talk 860, American Justice Radio Network. We're sponsored by Tony Shure, Pinnacle Medical Plus. Shout out to Griffin Banks for putting it together. Having said that, Sonny's guest is Mike Silver of Silver & Silver. We're going to talk a little bit of disability, Social Security disability. I know the firm, that you mentioned the firm does personal injury also.
About half and half.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, and you define personal injury, what types
automobile,
of
automobile, slip and fall, accidents at work, ingesting toxic substances, some malpractice, that kind of stuff.
And the firm itself, you have how many attorneys?
About eight.
Eight attorneys. How does that split up in regards to the PI? And
it's almost half and half.
Really? Yeah. No kidding. So you have a nice size personal injury firm, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Social Security disability.
It does. We often get people who are in accidents, no longer can work, or at least for a year they can't work, and we get them disability. And we often have disabled clients, either currently or in the past, who call us because they got into an accident.
Yeah, I was going to say the practice areas typically feed off of one another.
Yeah, and it's contingency fee, right?
Right. They don't pay us unless we're successful.
And that goes for both?
Both.
Yeah, which is, to me, again, still mind-boggling to me. You can go in and get fantastic attorneys, you know, and obviously they retain, you know, and you actually invest in the case, you know, even if, especially if it's a PI case.
We were talking before about SSI and SSD. I think Mike should probably define those various disability benefits for folks.
Sure.
So the disability program in general is a system that the government set up. They call it a safety net. You know, you're working and you're covering your bills and enjoying life as best you can, and something happens. You have an accident at work. You catch a bad disease. Your heart goes bad on you. You have a bad back. You can no longer work. So the government says, we'll take care of you. You paid in with your paycheck. You paid in every week to the Social Security system. You're entitled to this. This is not a gift. You know, you're not cheating anybody. It's not a fortune. But it's the same benefit as if you waited to age 67 for full retirement. So if a 40-year-old guy, God forbid, gets hurt on the job, can't do his job anymore, and can't really do much of anything else, and I'll explain what it means to be a dependable worker, they have this disability available. Problem is, the government doesn't approve everybody, and they make it very difficult, and they drag it out terribly. So I would say out of, you know, 100 people who apply for disability, either by going in person and making an application, calling in and trying to do a phone interview, or by going on the internet, I would say 1 out of 4 possibly gets it, and some years less. So what happens to the people who don't get it? A lot of them just give up. I would say half of them give up. They said, well, you can't fight City Hall. You know, who am I? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not sophisticated. If they say I can work, I guess I can do some kind of job.
Which is probably why the federal government drags out the process.
You know,
to discourage people.
You know, I was once invited. I was one of 20 organizations invited to Congress, to the Social Security Subcommittee. It was like one of the greatest honors of my life. I was president of that national organization of about 5,000 lawyers. And they asked my organization and all the other countries' organizations for disability. And they said, we have this 3-step process. You apply, you get turned down. You request reconsideration, you get turned down. You request a hearing. All of a sudden, you have a good chance of winning. So they said, what do you think about reconsideration? And I always thought it was a waste of time. People would just drop out after they lost. Another 50% would drop out. Some would die. It was a very cruel and unnecessary step. And that's what I argued. And 19 of the other organizations out of the 20 argued what I did before the Senate subcommittee. One organization, the Government Accounting Office, said, and they were so transparent it was shocking, they said, well, if we get rid of reconsideration, that means more people will apply for a hearing and ultimately more people will win and it will cost the government more, so we oppose it. So they actually said that on the record. It was amazing. But I was very fortunate then because I was on the winning side. They got rid of reconsideration.
When did you do that? When did they get rid of reconsideration?
So this is about 20 years ago, right?
Okay.
So I felt very honored that they started out with test states, and they called Pennsylvania one of 10 test states that they were going to experiment not having reconsideration. Rightly or wrongly, I'd like to think that was because I was there from Pennsylvania that we were on that list. Who the hell knows?
I think it's obvious. No, it's obvious.
So anyway, so it goes just as I thought. More people were applying and getting turned down initially, going to a hearing, waiting less time, and getting benefits. It was great. So until about 5-6 years ago, when they decided to reinstate disability.
Reconsideration.
And so it never actually got rolled out beyond the 10 test states. And even Pennsylvania got this reconsideration again. It's a shame.
It is a shame. I mean, you know, it's FICA, right? You pay into it through your FICA. What you said about what the Government Accounting Office said, I would do poorly in those situations because I probably lose it. You know what I mean? Like, well, appreciate it. We're all here. And, you know, what's the point of this thing here? If you're smoking people out,
right?
You know, they're going to, you know, till they die. How long does the, so you've explained it nicely. Somebody applies, you know, sometimes can take a year, even with the reconsideration. Now they had, even without the reconsideration, how long does the reconsideration sometimes take?
Initial 3 or 4 months, reconsideration 3 or 4 months, going to hearing can take up to a year. And let me just mention what a hearing is. So a couple things. Disability means the inability to work for 12 continuous months because of a medically determinable illness, be it physical or mental or emotional or a combination thereof. So if you can't do your job, government looks at you a couple different ways. The older you are, and they start at 50, the more they recognize that it's hard to get another job. They call that transferability of what you've learned at your work.
And Joe, you and I would fit within that definition.
We would.
Yeah. So then it gets a little easier at 55 and 60. And, you know, by 67, you can get your full amount. So the older you are, the less educated you are, the harder you work, or the least transferable your work skills are, the easier it is to get disability. And again, disability means the inability to work for 12 continuous months. And if you stay out of work 10 months, go back to work for a month, and then go out again, you got to start the counting again generally. And what does it mean to be a dependable worker? There's a very good rule in Social Security that says if you would lose more than a day or two a month, you're not considered a dependable worker, and therefore you should get disability. So some people think they have to be in bed 30 days a month. It's not true. Just if you can't do a full day's work without taking extra breaks or coming in late or leaving early or not be able to stay at your desk long enough, you're not a dependable worker.
So let's kind of like structure it a little bit in the sense that, you know, because you're right, Mike, there's so many misnomers here, like so many misunderstandings in regards to who should apply for Social Security disability.
So there's two groups. Thanks for asking it that way. So there are the test for either program, regular disability or SSI, which means Supplemental Security Income, a federal form of welfare basically. Is the same, this inability to work.
So we should emphasize that the disability standard for both forms of benefits is the same.
Exactly. Okay. And the difference is in SSI, you get approximately $800 a month, and it's almost a welfare payment, certainly better than it was in Pennsylvania. There's no more payments for welfare benefits. It's just food stamps, right? So it's about $800 a month plus Medicaid. So it's an important benefit because now it takes these sick people and it gives them some treatment.
Sure.
Excuse me. So regular disability is based on your years of work and what you paid in. And basically, it's the same as if you waited to age 67 for your full retirement, regardless of how old you are.
A quick question, though. For Social Security, what's it, SSI? How long does it take you to get that? Is it as rigorous a situation, or can you get it? Did they put you through the ringer for SSI?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Same test. And if not, more so for SSI, because in SSI, you got people sometimes who've never worked. So then the judge looks at them and say, well, you know, what is with you? Why haven't you worked? And there could be many, many reasons. You raised a family. You were sick. Your parents were sick. I mean, who knows the reasons why people don't work? Most quite legitimate. Some, of course, maybe they didn't want to work for whatever reason. So judges are more skeptical of those cases. So they're actually even a little harder.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to get, you know, if you walk, you know, if you have, you make an application for SSI, and what's it, Social Security?
Supplemental Security Income is income. What SSI means.
Okay, so can you get it? Like, there are some people who get SSD quickly, it was relatively quickly, 6 months, whatever, 4 to 6, they get approved the first time. If you apply for SSI and you get it quickly, is it the same exact amount of time?
Oh, yeah, it takes about the same amount of time.
Okay. No, it's really, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Oh, it is.
When you think about it. You talk about the type of injury you have. You're right. So many people think that they have to be in a wheelchair, okay, and that they had to have a stereotypical catastrophic injury. But isn't it true that you really, you know, having a hard time performing your work duties that you do for, you know, that's really the standard of, you know, if you were an iron worker or some kind of, you know, other construction worker or whatever, if you can't perform that duty.
So that's true as you get older. But let's say you're 50 and you're an iron worker and you can't do the physically demanding work of lifting. That.
Sure.
Okay. But you can do something else. Conduct audits. Supervise a job.
Be a ticketer at a department store.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. There's a lot of jobs. Sometimes that's
greeter.
The case.
Right.
So it's not just your old job. It's actually a test in the national economy. It's kind of a difficult test.
Okay.
If there are other jobs in the national economy. But the older you get, the less educated you are, the less transferable work skills you are, the more Social Security recognizes it's very hard for you to get a job.
And so, in a sense, it's like plateaus. If you're 30 years old
hard.
And they think you're hard at 40 years old, when does it start to get easier?
50. And then it gets easier every 60.
When I turn 50 years old, Mike, and believe me, that's a long time from now.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
No, it's funny. When you're 49, you're considered a younger individual.
I'm a kid.
When you're 50, you're considered approaching older age.
I joke around. My wife and my best friend are both – my best friend's born on January 1st. I'm July 4th, and she's a year older than me. Kind of robbing the cradle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always tell them I can't even relate to you guys. You're from a different era than I am. But
born a patriot.
Yeah.
Born right. on the 4th of July.
That's right. A lot of people don't realize that you can have the same injury when you're 50 that you do when you're 35, and because you're 50 and there's a less of a chance that you, but you don't have to be, you don't have to have lost a limb, right?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, when people lose limbs, I rarely see the case because Social Security just grants it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Although here's a crazy fact. If you lose one limb, one arm, one leg, one hand, one foot, that's not enough for disability. It has to involve two limbs. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Tell that to an iron worker trying to climb a column. Mm-hmm. You know, although I do have plenty of friends that, one in particular, I don't think he's around any longer, but saw him, you know, his name was Duke or Cole. And, you know, it's because that's what I was. I was a union iron worker. So you build
No kidding.
Yeah, that's my dad was the business manager for 40 years. So I got my scholarship the day after, you know, whether I liked it or not. But
did you leave because of an injury?
No, yes, I did.
Wow.
I got injured on the Frankfurt L, falling. We were carrying a big gate, and a gate, they cut it loose. They put it down and left me holding it. And I went right down the steps. It was crazy.
My office is in Ardmore, 42 West Lancaster Avenue, next to the old movie theater. And it was a 100-year-old building when I bought it. Now it's even a lot older. And it obviously didn't have an elevator. So I had to put an elevator on. So I built an elevator shaft, and you needed iron workers to connect it. They were the toughest bunch of guys with the best language.
Yeah, that's right. Believe me, we're very fluent in certain languages. You know, it's funny, though.
Mike, tell folks whether or not there's a maximum benefit for Social Security disability. You mentioned that there is one for SSIs at around $800.
So, right. And that's for everybody who gets SSI.
Mm-hmm.
But for Social Security disability, it's based on your own individual earnings record. So used to be that government used to send you a statement every year that said, if you retired now, this is how much you would get.
Yeah, I remember getting that.
Yeah. And so that's the amount. And now you can call on, or you could go to the Social Security website and get that.
So let's talk about, you know, you mentioned, you know, the different types of injuries that, you know, you talked, but also conditions, right? I mean, there are, you know, if somebody ends up having arthritis or cancer, or I think there are certain conditions, like, for example, ALS, that you get in immediately, right? Talk about the different conditions and the types of injuries where people should be looking into it.
So there are a very small number of cases that are automatic Social Security approvals. They're end stage disease, like, you know, last stage of cancer. People are in the hospital and they're not coming out too soon. People who have the lowest class of ability to function heart-wise, those people. Cancer that lasts for more than 12 continuous months. Because I have a lot of people who will come to me, had cancer, it was discovered, they had the surgery, they had the radiation, they had the chemotherapy. They basically went through hell for a year. But the cancer has left them, which is great. And then it's not a year yet. But I often ask them, how are you feeling? What is your day like? How much fatigue do you have? And guys and women who've gone through that procedure for a year, they're not ready to go back to work right away, regardless of even if it's a desk job. So I'm usually successful at convincing the judges that, okay, the hard part of their treatment has finished, but they haven't recovered. And they deserve at least another year to see if they can go back to work.
I'm assuming, and when you think about it, you have run into applications where there were very serious situations, and they passed away while they were waiting for their...
I had an old guy, looked old anyway. He was an old, little old guy, walked with a limp, had a lot of medical problems, but rode a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
Funny guy, he said.
Sounds like a typical retired iron worker, to be honest with you.
He said his take on the whole thing after I got him disabled is, you say you're disabled, die and prove it.
Yeah. Well, he had a sense of humor.
Yeah, oh, he did, yeah.
You know, when you think about it, I've talked about it, man, you know, a number of times. It's so important, I believe, to have an attorney to fill out the application. And I say that, first of all, it's a contingency fee, so our listeners should listen to that, number one. Number two, it's such a long, drawn-out process. You make a mistake on that application, and you find out down the road, it can be absolutely torturous. Time is money, for crying out loud. How many people have tried to do this on their own, Mike, and made, you know, the standard mistakes that we would make and cost themselves time?
Too many. So the most common mistake I get is somebody who had a physical job, and the question is, how much can you lift? And they think to themselves, well, geez, in my job, I lifted 50 pounds all the time. So you write down 50 pounds because they don't realize it's after you got hurt how much you can lift.
Yeah.
So then you have to go into court, and the judge says, well, you said you could lift 50 pounds. And you have to go explain, no, I didn't understand when I was reading it. You know, and a lot of people who who aren't as quite as educated have a lot of trouble filling out those papers. So I never have a problem reviewing the paperwork for people to make sure they don't make that mistake.
Let's talk about medical. Okay, what medical, proof, documentation does somebody need? And, you know, when obviously when you're filling out an application.
Yeah, is a disability note from a family doctor enough?
Usually not. Good question. So Social Security likes to hear from specialists. So if you have a heart disease and you have a cardiologist, you want to get a statement from the cardiologist, not just what is your cardiac condition, how long will it affect you, but also what does it limit to you? What are your activities of daily living? How much can you walk? How much can you lift? How long can you sit? If you sit for a long time, your legs need to be elevated. Like a lot of people with a bad heart, doctors will say, you must lift your leg up above heart level to avoid the swelling that comes from heart disease. There's very few jobs, except the job Sonny and I have, where you could sit back in your desk and put up your feet.
Yeah, of course. That one thing that stands in the way is that law degree, you know.
Yeah.
Having said that, Sonny, as a workers' compensation attorney, I'm sure this also overlaps.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
quite a few of our clients who, you know, were involved in serious work injuries end up applying for Social Security disability because their work injury prevents them from working in any capacity.
Now, here's a good one. We'll kind of spitfire a little bit. Social Security disability application, must it be for a work injury? Could it be for any injury? Does it have to be work-related?
That's a good question. It can be from a
It's a good question because Griffin asked me to say it, but, you know, thank you for that.
Now I understand why they have you here.
By the way,
feed him the good question.
Before you say anything, the chair's going down. I'm now in the little – yo, Matt, I'm in the little chair now. I'm driving the car. I'm on the phone.
You're at the kids' table.
Exactly.
Sometimes people are born with problems, and it takes them 50 years of hard work till it comes out that, oh, my God, you had a bad birth defect in your back, and now we discover it, and now you can't work. A lot of people have a disease, and it doesn't get real bad for a while. So it's to the point where it won't allow you to work on a consistent basis. So it can be an accident where you're suddenly unable to work, and the accident doesn't have to have work. It can be walking down the street, in a bike, in a car, whatever. Or it can be a disease that you've been treated for a long time, or a disease that became much worse suddenly. Any of those reasons.
I'm sorry, Sonny.
I was going to ask Mike, once you get on SSI or SSD, is there an endpoint?
So Social Security doesn't want to continue to pay people who they think can work now. And in fact, Congress at one point did a study of Social Security cases and say, you're not reviewing this enough. Because sometimes people will have a very severe broken bone in their leg, and it takes a year to get better.
And the minimum you have to be at is a year, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So the judge understands, grants them the benefits, and they're supposed to review the case in 1 year. But Social Security always has funding problems and most of the time doesn't do the right thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So they'll forget about it, sometimes forever. But Congress took a look at it and they started to mandate reviews. So you have to be reviewed sometimes in 1 year or 3 years or 5 years. And the judge is supposed to indicate that in the decision.
I see.
Can I just say one more thing
please,
about that?
Please.
So for people who are out there who are been proved for disability, my advice to my clients who I've been able to get disability is keep in treatment. If you still have problems, keep in treatment. Keep taking your medicine. Keep seeing your doctors, unless, of course, you're better. But if you still have the same problem and you stop treating and stop taking your medicines, and when Social Security writes you in a year or two or three and says, how you doing, and you say you're fine, you can expect to get turned down.
Yeah. Okay, so let's jump on that for a second, because who do they contact? They just send an email or a letter to your house? Because I can imagine listeners going, whoa, you know, I want to be looking out for this stuff if they don't think that they've ever, been reviewed. Does the review happen for everybody?
No, it's much less than it probably should.
Okay.
And lots of times for people who don't deserve a review. You get somebody who end-stage cancer and they were able to live for a couple years, they're not in a condition to work. and sometimes those people. And if they don't respond or they don't respond correctly, and I don't get a copy of it, the lawyer who represented you is only involved for the year that you had a case and you went before a judge and the judge ruled in your favor and the judge paid the attorney fee, which, by the way, comes out of your back due benefits. A lawyer can't make more than 25% of back due benefits.
So a lawyer doesn't get an ongoing fee from the monthly checks.
Unlike workers' comp, it's just one and done. And the lawyer doesn't get notice that you've been reviewed. So I have to depend on my clients to call me.
It's crazy.
Wow. Okay. That's a big one. People should be, you know, I mean, normally under any circumstances, you're opening your mail, you should be opening it.
And it sounds like there's no process for the review. It's just a, you know, unlucky person.
Random.
What are the rates? How do they gauge the rates in regards to Social Security per month? How much the amount someone can get and how they calculate it?
So for SSI, everybody gets the same amount. It differs by state. So when I say $800, I'm talking about Pennsylvania. Jersey, similar, but not quite the exact amount. Might be a little more, actually, in Jersey. But for regular disability, for people who've paid in, and I should say this, you have to have worked 5 out of the last 10 years before you became disabled in order to qualify with enough quarters to get regular disability. But assuming you did that, it's the rate that you would get if you got retirement that year.
Having said that, people can find out what their rate would be. Okay, no question about it. I think it's important for people to understand that, obviously, when you know you got to get engaged in your own process. Do you have to get regular medical? Let me ask you, do you have to get regular medical exams? Updates, or is that if they? If you're disabled, obviously you should be seeing your medical physician,
anyway.
Right. But do they come out like Sonny, when obviously workers' compensation, the insurance company comes out and videos people? Do they do that with work?
Not really. Very rare instances. If they think there's fraud, they might do it, but it's very rare. No, they just take your word for it when you answer their forms. And if you don't answer the forms sufficiently, they will send you to one of the – first, they'll ask your doctor to comment on your disability. And if your doctor doesn't do it sufficiently, they'll send you to one of their doctors, and you can expect a brief visit from a doctor who may or may not have your medical records and not necessarily always on your side.
How long does somebody have to apply for SSD after their injury, or even if they get towards retirement and they're trying to hang on the best they can?
So you can get hurt and stop working. And sometimes people will come to me 2 and 3 years later. And I say, why didn't you apply before? Well, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to admit to myself I was disabled, or I thought I was going to get better. And the problem is Social Security disability benefits is only retroactive 1 year from the date of the application. And in SSI, there's no retroactive benefit. It's only retroactive to the date of the application.
But
that's a good point, because if you did make a mistake on the application and you got denied, and then you had to submit a second application, your past due benefits are going to be affected, I would assume.
Well, if you have a series of applications, you can often piggyback them. So
okay.
I have people who have applied a number of times, but every time they get rejected, they quit. And then they wait a few more months, they reapply. What they should do is they have – and this is maybe your question – how many days do you have to appeal? 60 days to appeal from the date you hear from Social Security, plus 5 days for mailing. So theoretically, you have 65 days.
Can you still do things if you get Social Security disability? Can you still do some of the things, like if you like to fish or some, you know, is it possible?
You can do your normal life, but, you know, if you're a weightlifting champion, you put it on the internet, these pictures of you, don't be surprised if Social Security looks.
Not a good idea.
More and more they're looking. I wanted to say one more thing. So two things. Can you work part-time after you get disabled?
Yeah.
Yes, you can, but you... Every year the amount changes. Now in Pennsylvania, it's about $1,200 a month that you can make. But if you make $1,200 a month, it's very hard for me to prove that you can't work more than that. So I tell people, keep it under $1,000.
Is that what those areas there, like for example, if somebody's working and—
Part-time,
yeah,
but not
I'm
every
saying,
day of the week, not full days. They work part-time. They can usually keep their benefits.
Do reviews come typically to those individuals?
Oh, yeah. And here's another important thing. If you take a job, whether it's full-time, part-time, whatever, let Social Security know. Send them a note. Send it certified mail, return receipt requested. Nowadays, I guess you could send an email because there's then proof of the date and the time. Because if you don't, Social Security can then come back and say, you owe $50,000. And I've had cases like that because you've been working for 8 years after you were no longer disabled.
Okay, so we're right at, you know, we got about a minute left. Mike, if you would, contact information for yourself at the firm.
Thank you. So again, my name's Mike Silver, but you don't have to ask for me. I have a really good team of people work. You call if it's a new case, and you'll talk to an intake person. 610-658-1900. 610-658-1900. If you want to contact by us by email, you can contact me at msilver@silverandsilver.com, msilver@silverandsilver.com, or our website is www.silverandsilver.com, and the and is A-N-D. Thank you guys for letting me be your guest today.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
It was more fun than I expected.
Very informative.
And I think this might be the first live one. Sonny, contact information?
Sure. Banks Law 215-561-1000. And our web address is www.bankslaw.com.
And can I say one more thing?
Please.
Anybody who has any questions about, are they disabled? Do they qualify? How should I fill out this question? Am I a candidate? Will you help me? We don't charge for initial consultation, okay? We're happy to hear your case. We'll give you the best advice we can. If you want us to represent you, great. Some people let us represent them from the start, which we love to do, and then there's no mistakes. Some people we pick it up at reconsideration or at the hearing.
Yeah, please call. At least get the information.
Absolutely. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Sonny Banks Show on WWDB Talk 860, American Justice Radio Network. I want to thank Tony Shore, Pinnacle Medical Plus, Matt Menark for making it happen in the producer's booth. I want to thank Griffin Banks. And, of course, we want to thank Sonny's guest, our fantastic injury attorney, Mike Silver of Silver & Silver, and, of course, Sonny Banks of Banks Law, another great one in the books. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.